jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 22 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. I was hoping you might have said the Round 5 Game of Thrones podcast, but I guess we're still going to talk about Supercoach.
Yeah, a couple of weeks left. Thank you to everyone for their kind words over the last week, and apologies for anyone who didn't sort of get the notice on social media about why the show didn't go up last week. So I was away due to a family bereavement, so I appreciate everybody's understanding, and we're back this week, Mark, so that's good.
Glad to have you back.
2 weeks to go, and hopefully we are there to give any of you who are still playing off in the Supercoach finals a last nugget of gold to help you win your Supercoach leagues. Mark, you still in plenty of cash leagues and things like that?
Cash leagues has gone very poorly. Just fair bit of luck at this time of the year, mate, even though I'd be the top ranked team in some of them. Yeah, just, I don't know, things can just go badly and you just don't have the right players in the right weeks. So that's all right. It's a gamble every year and you just got to keep putting yourself up there. So I will be just going for overall ranking now.
Well, it's always a noble goal, Mark. I tend to chase that pretty hard throughout the year. Even when leagues are in play, I still like trying to get that number down as small as I can by the end of the year. So still a noble cause, and especially with our league still smashing it, Mark, and you being a big part of them, I hope you continue to strive toward that goal. So let's go to a quick round update, and then we'll get into this week's show. And the main theme of this week's show is dealing with sort of injury crisis, a late injury crisis late in the season. A lot of us have used our trades and there've been quite a lot of premiums, particularly dropped like flies over the last few weeks. So we'll get to those players and your best replacements for them essentially. But before we do, as I mentioned, to the round update. Mark, how'd you score over the weekend?
Had another decent score on the weekend. I got 23.06. Finally moved into the top 1,000 and a decent jump up to 804th. I think I've moved up pretty much every week since the buys from about 2,000th and just been plugging away, just getting those small wins every week. So hopefully I can keep that up for a couple more weeks. I guess top 500 is even within sights now. If everything went really well, I still have a couple of trades left. So yeah, things are looking fairly positive for the team. I was able to loop Ryan off the field, which was good. Had Zach Merritt on the bench, which wasn't good. And I brought in Steph Martin recently, 129. That was pretty handy. How'd you go, Matt?
Didn't go quite as well. I scored 22.42. I traded Selwood out for Zorko, hoping for a bit of a POD, and he had a good last three rounds. Sorry.
I should mention I traded Selwood to Josh Kelly, who got 132, so went a little bit better than you.
So that's pretty much the difference between our two scores when I look at it. I still have three trades. I still have 250,000. So I've gone quite conservative this year. I could have.
Hang on. You have three trades and 250,000.
Yeah.
Have you played this game before?
I'm just trying to protect our leagues. You know, I don't want to cop any donuts on field. It's just
so selfless.
Yeah, it's hard when you still have. I've had 22 players like premiums playing on field every week. I've had an extra premium on bench for a while now, so it's been extra hard to take the risk and sort of trade out an underperforming premium for a bloke that I'm not that much more confident about. I think I've got most of the sort of must-haves. There's just no player that's standing out that's begging to be picked, maybe outside of Cruiser. So yeah, that's probably the move that I could have made would have been to trade Lynch to Cruiser last week, and that would have netted me.
That would have made a bit of sense.
Yeah, an additional 70 points, but I was probably overly conservative. I probably should have double traded last week to get out Lynch. But nonetheless, I've got a bit of trades and cash to protect myself in case of further carnage. And I'll be deploying those trades to maximum effect, hopefully, for the last two rounds at least.
And you are in a prelim of the number third ranked league, which does have a fair bit of bragging rights involved.
Mm-hmm. But my rank's sitting at 1850, which isn't terrible considering I've given up a fair few points this year for silly mistakes and stuff like that. So cutting myself a bit of slack, and like you said, Mark, probably should have been a bit more aggressive with my trades, but nonetheless, that's the situation I'm in. Hopefully our listeners learn something from my moves as well.
I'm pretty sure that none of our listeners have three trades and over $200,000 sitting in their bank.
A bit of a luxurious position. I've been very patient with Max, like trading out rookies and stuff this year, probably overly so. So next year, maybe a bit of a tweak of the game plan. But you can't call it right every season. If there had been absolute carnage, I would have been laughing, Mark.
And there has been a bit of carnage, mate.
All right, let's go to a quick group update. So the top score for our group was Lockie's Tigers United FC. He scored 24.76, and that pushed Lockie up into the top 1,000. So congratulations to Lockie. Don't forget, you can reach out to us via our social media pipes. Provide us your address, Lockie, and I'll send you out a Supercoach Coach stubby holder for winning the top scoring team in our Supercoach Coach group for the week. In terms of a league update, Mark,
It's time for the league updates. Woo!
Woo! Fantastic news. So we have 2 rounds to go. And believe it or not, we have all of the top 11 leagues at the moment, which is absolutely massive. We also have 13th and 14th. We've really avoided sort of celebrating this because we've done that to disastrous effect over the last 9 years. But I'm pretty ready to call it. I mean, we should bloody win this time.
I'm sure that in doing so, we will find a way to lose from here. But the top 11 leagues, I think we've had 3 of the top 5 before. And thinking back, that was a massive effort and a huge result for us. So to have the top 11 just doesn't quite seem believable, but it seems to be on the site. And great to see that the most points leader is actually the Patreon League, the SCC Patreon League. So that's awesome reward for everyone that's helped us out to keep the show running this year.
Absolutely, Mark. And have a fantastic season review show in a few weeks' time after the season is wrapped up, hopefully. The last couple of years, we haven't quite wanted to come on for our season review show because we had a last-minute sort of change of lead in the last couple of weeks, but this year looks pretty damn strong. So very, very happy, Mark, and I know you are too, and a massive shout-out to our whole Supercoach Coach community for doing your bit, staying the course. And beyond the Supercoach Coach Patreons, you know, we've got Supercoach Coach number 1 at 10th, Supercoach Coach number 3 at 11th, number 2 at 14th, number 6 at 17th, number 9 at 19th. These are all our public ranked leagues, and they've done fantastically. Number 8 and number 10 and number 12 are also in the top 40. So most of the people that have signed up for our ranked leagues have been representing us really, really well. And it's a huge credit to all those blokes because there's plenty of ranked leagues in amongst all the other sort of fantasy websites out there. And so to have more than half of our ranked leagues sitting in the top 40 is an amazing accomplishment and speaks to how great super coaches we have on board, Mark.
Especially myself.
All right. With that, let's move on to the show, mate. So as I mentioned, this week we'll be talking mostly about this late injury crisis. There's quite a few blokes that have dropped like flies, especially premiums, which causes a little bit more heartache. For those of us with trades still left to deal with these, let's sort of talk about some options, Mark. And the first bloke that we have here to talk about, and this question is from Blair Dewsby or at RickJames7 on Twitter. Best sort of sub 500k player for Joel Selwood. So if you didn't have much money to replace Joel Selwood, who would you be looking at? So I know we did recommend trading him out last week, Mark, but for those people like myself who have been conservative, maybe they didn't have many trades left, maybe they were holding out for a league to get through to the prelims or whatever. Mark, who would you be looking at?
Blair's having a great season, so I'm sure that he's probably got some pretty good perspective on this himself. I think that if you've got to go under Selwood, you are really, really limited in who you can actually pick this week. And probably the one that stands out to me is Hanbury, just because he's got the premium scores in the past and he scored a decent score on the weekend. It's hard to go past him. I know BJ from the Bombers could probably get you 2 scores of 110 if you were really lucky. There's a fair bit of gamble in taking someone like that. I mean, Bryce Gibbs could go huge twice in a row. He's probably the only other one I'd really seriously consider. What about yourself, mate? Is there anyone else that stands out to you?
With a couple of rounds to go, you could take a little bit more of an out there punt if you wanted to. Having said that, Blair's sitting in the top 100 or something like that, so you probably don't want to go too crazy if you're Blair. But for a lot of our other listeners, I mean, even a bloke like Dyson Heppel, I mean, he's only averaged 100 for the year so far, but they've got 2 games left to play and Essendon need to win out to make it in, if they're a shot at making it in, and they're still reliant on results. So there's a few blokes that you might sort of take because they've got a lot to play for and they're playing for finals teams and should hopefully win. Trent Cotchin, priced at 500K, if Richmond want to make the top 4, they're going to have to win out their next 2 games. So I'm willing to cast my net a little bit wider when you have 2 rounds to go, because you don't need to go with a bloke that's averaging 110 to pick a bloke that can average 110 for just 2 rounds, Mark.
Someone like Lockie Whitfield or even Aaron Hall or Ollie Wines, they're all capable of going really big for 2 games. You're kind of gambling a fair bit on which one actually will.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think if you're going after somebody with really high upside, I think I would stick to, you know, your Rockliffe, your Gibbs, your Sloanes, Treloars, even side bottoms, blokes that have sort of a high potential of banging out a huge score. Whereas if you wanted just a well-priced option to help you tread water a little bit, because that's sort of final situation that you're facing, then you might go for a safer pick like a Trent Cotchin or a Dan Hannabry. So it really depends on the situation that you're facing, I think, Mark, as to sort of the type of risk that you take. But I think the options open up a huge amount for these last two rounds.
Yep. Think that if you have to go under, Selwood, the Hannabry and Gibbs are probably the two that stand out the most to me, though.
Mm. All right. We'll move on to talking about if cash wasn't an option, Mark. If you're just looking at top scoring replacements in the midfield, I mean, Dangerfield and Martin are sort of the 1-2 at the moment. But we did get a question about Matt Crouch, whether or not he's a must have for the prelim week. And Shannon Swan's asking about that. He has one trade left. Crouch has been killing it. I mean, his average has been boosted so much. He's actually averaging 110 for the season now, which is amazing.
Yeah.
His 3-round average is 133, but he's been doing well, you know, much before that. So from round 10 onwards, he's not missed the ton. And he's hit 130 on 5 different occasions, Mark. Massive.
Absolutely massive, mate. And look, the Crows do bat reasonably deep in the midfield, but it does seem to be Crouch that's their number one scorer every week. And I guess if Cash was just completely not an option, then he is, someone that I would consider very, very strongly. Probably him or Tom Mitchell, even though Mitchell's just faded that slight amount. Those two are probably the ones that are not in my team that I would strongly consider. And outside of that, I think that Fife is still the man. He's just shown his form of late has been awesome. Like, they got beaten pretty good on the weekend, and he still looked really, really good and scored like 115 or so. So, yeah, they're my selections if cash isn't an issue.
Yeah, agree with that. Thoughts about Clayton Oliver with 2 rounds to go?
Sorry for laughing. It's just a tricky one. Like, I mean, he just keeps proving me wrong, so I'd be loath to make any sort of call on Clayton Oliver. It's hard to pick him ahead of Crouch or Mitchell, but just keeps getting it done and looks really, really good in the process. And Melbourne have a lot on the line in the next 2 weeks.
Mm, I agree with that. Overall, though, I do think I'd agree that sort of Fife is the main man I'd still be looking at, and Crouch, if cash wasn't an issue right now, probably should be a top consideration. I passed on him last week to bring in Zorko. It was either Zorko or Crouch.
Good choice.
Great choice. So all our listeners should do the exact opposite of what I did and pick Crouch.
It actually wouldn't surprise me to see Zach Merritt at 514,000 come back and play pretty big the last 2 weeks. He's been extremely disappointing since I brought him into my side. But after a week off playing the Suns this week and then the Dockers in the last round with a bit on the line, wouldn't surprise me to see him score quite well.
There's talk Lachie Neal might miss this week as well, Mark?
There's talk that Harley Bennell might even come this week, and Lachie McNeil may be ruled out for the season. They said that he's been playing pretty injured for about 5 weeks and in multiple areas and hasn't been able to train properly, even though he scored 150-odd 2 weeks ago. Only had 40-odd against the Swans, and definitely didn't look himself. I think he had his lowest possession game for about 3 years, and they're thinking about maybe sending him off to get surgery early, which Fremantle are probably in a position to do that.
All right, so I think at least the options that we covered, Mark, should sort of cover off replacement options for Neil if he does get ruled out for the season. If he still does get named and does play, though, considering he did score 150 a couple of weeks ago and he's been playing injured for 5 weeks, would you just keep him?
Yeah, if he's named, then I don't think people have enough trades to be trading out premiums that are named.
Well, I do, but that's another story. All right, next question is from Ramon or at SessionGZ on Twitter. He's asking for forward options for Lynch and or ruck options for Grundy. Considering a lot of us have Nankervis and Ryder, that considering rucks and forwards together might be the worst thing to do anyway. So thoughts on the best sort of forward or ruck options that are available? Ryder is one that I'm interested in getting your views on, Mark. I know the start of the season wasn't quite where you'd hoped it to be, but considering his form since the bye in round 9, he's really come home strong. He's actually averaging 100 at the moment. He's the second highest averaging forward for the season. Would you believe that?
No, I definitely believe that, man. He's absolutely turned into a brilliant pick in the end. Like, even early in the season when he wasn't killing it, he wasn't posting really dud scores. He was sort of just getting that 80 to 90 mark. So ultimate strategy would have been to bring him in after his round 9 bye.
Oh, like I did. Yeah, brilliant play. Thanks, mate.
Even starting him hasn't worked out too bad. Like, very, very glad I've got him in my team. His form has been awesome last couple of months. So, and didn't have the greatest game on the weekend and still scored over 100. So if you don't have Paddy, I think he is a very good in if money's not an option. If you're looking at just a ruck, I've got the same advice that I have for about 4 or 5 weeks, and that is Steph Martin. Now that Archie's out of the side, Archie played for a long time to sort of, I think, get Steph through the season, and Steph's is scoring better at the moment without Archie Smith in the team. So, yeah, I think that him or Cruiser, depending on who you're going to forward, would be the two ruckmen I'd be looking at.
All right, next question here. James Fairweather is playing for the league. He has 3 trades remaining, and he's considering moving Tom Lynch into the rucks, bringing Ryder forward and trading Lynch out for Cruiser. So we just referenced that. If you had that flexibility to bring a Nank into your forwards or Ryder, would you almost definitely be picking a Cruiser if you could afford him? If not, sort of even still, would Martin be no-brainer next to the forward options?
Yeah, look, I think they are. I think they're much more consistent players and much more likely to post consistently above 100. So, yes, absolutely. I'd be trading to a ruck if I could.
Agree with that. And a ruck will be my trade for the week. So, I think Cruiser, because it meets my sort of price point, will be
jumping
my
on that
selection.
One a bit late, mate.
Mm. Very late, almost too late, but anyway, that's how it is. Next question here is from
Rick. And the other question on that was Parsons to Maynard, and I actually made that trade 2 weeks ago. It seems a bit silly, but Maynard being completely bottom-priced in dual position is not the worst option. I think Melbourne play late this round, and Parsons is not reliable to get you anything, even if you do need him for cover.
Mm-hmm. This next question is from Rick Jordan on Facebook. He's asking whether or not he should trade out Shaw or trade out Dalhouse. So he's tossing up between bringing in Hurley or bringing in Cruiser. Cruiser obviously has the higher scoring potential. Shaw has a lower basement than Dalhouse. So it's a tough one, that question. What do you reckon?
Obviously, he has too many trades, just like you, to be looking to manufacture moves like that. I traded Shaw to Laird several weeks ago, so barracking pretty hard against Shaw at the moment. And he has been doing the right thing by my team. So, look, I think that Shaw to Hurley is the biggest risk out of the two of those moves. And so that would definitely worry me. And I think that Dalhouse's form has been pretty terrible over the last 6 weeks. And Cruiser just has that huge upside. So, look, I think that I'd probably go Dalhouse to Cruiser if it was up to me to make that choice this week. I can see the reasons why you both told me. What do you reckon?
I think the upside from Cruiser is more tempting. I think even though Shaw's averaging like 85 and Dalhouse 92, like for the next few games, evaluate them both as sort of more likely to average 90 than anything else. And so the jump up to Cruiser's 110 seems slightly higher than Hurley's, maybe 105. So that's probably where I have it. Last question for the round. Robert Bobby Gaines asking whether or not he should be burning his last trade on the prelim trade or save it for the grand final. He has Grundy, but he has cover. So this is a tough one. I mean, if you're forced into a situation where you need to trade to win this week or you need to trade to cover an injury or you're not looking like a favorite and so you need to burn all your trades right up front, like, if you're faced with those sort of options, then obviously the choice is more straightforward this week. But in Rob's case, you've got the ability to hang on one extra week and not use the trade. But of course, by using the trade, you're hoping it definitely gets you into that grand final. So it's a tough one because you don't want to be sort of holding a trade in your hand and be knocked out of the final series. But at the same time, if you've got options, the temptation would be to hold on as well, Mark.
Yeah, look, there's no real right answer to this question because you're trying to make a decision based on things that we don't actually know about. Based on that is the player's scores this week and what his cover is going to score. Unfortunately, Collingwood play the third game of the round. So if you could see what the cover was going to score and then decide whether to trade Grundy, that would be awesome. But sometimes the order of the games conspire against you and make that very difficult. I don't know. I think that in that spot, look, if I've got 2 trades, I'm keen to use one this week and hold one in the background for the grand final. But if I've got 1 trade left and I'm 50-50 going into this week, I think the strategy is that you're best off just using it because then you don't have any regrets. You might have won anyway, and it might cost you come to the grand final time. But if you don't use it and you lose this week, I think that pain is more. So, yeah, I think you just go for the win this week. And if your aim is to win the grand final, just try and get there.
It also depends on your prize structure. Like, how much do you get for second as opposed to third? If you get knocked out this week, you lose a lot from making the finals next week and getting the prize for second. Sometimes first is a lot larger than the prize for second or third. If you're in a cash league, if you're a league just for glory, then, you know, winning the last round counts more than just getting into the final series. So you could argue that if you're a favorite against your opponent this week, then the argument is you use your trade next week, you know, in case of injury or whatever. So it really does depend a huge amount on the importance of winning this week as well, and sort of your likelihood of winning your grand final matchup. If you've got the toughest opponent who, you know, was ranked first in this coming round, and then next week you're playing off against, you know, fourth or eighth in terms of overall ranking, then, you know, maybe you use your trade this week and you don't need it for next week. So it really does depend on a whole host of factors. I think you nailed it on the head the first time when you said there's not necessarily a right option, but given the choice where you have absolutely no context of what's going on, I do agree with you, Mark, that you're best off burning your trade this week and at least giving yourself the best shot of making finals if everything is absolutely equal.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, in the past I've maybe held that trade, and if you do miss out and it's because you held that trade, that's about as bad as it gets in Supercoach.
Yeah. And most of our cash leagues, at least, Mark, the runners-up prize is a lot better than making the prelims, or sometimes you don't even get prizes for third and fourth. So in most instances, if you're playing for cash as well, you're probably incentivized just to make the grand final.
Yeah, I do know that some leagues that are winner-take-all, and even then, I think I'd almost be tempted just to burn the trade then, because you've just got to make the big dance and then hope to get lucky.
All right, Mark, that's it for the questions for the week. Let's go to a quick captain's corner and then we'll call it quits. And we only have one show left, Mark. Who are you thinking of?
Okay.
Yeah, who are you thinking of for the second last captaincy call for the season?
I think it's actually really easy this week. I think it is Danger into Dusty.
Yep. Seems like a fair no-brainer.
I think you just have to vice-captain Danger. His consistency is very Ablett-esque to be going over 130. And so Dusty being the second high scorer overall, he's playing against Fremantle. That seems a reasonably reliable place to go.
Yeah, I agree with that. By the way, Mark, last week, Josh Williams was my captain again as an emergency. It was pretty nerve-wracking, but I made it through this time. But yeah, nothing really significant to add other than that's what I'll probably be going ahead with. The only other consideration is maybe Cruiser, just because he's been absolutely smashing it. If I end up trading him in, maybe Cruiser against Hawthorn might even be a pretty decent bet rather than Dusty away from home and playing against a team that does sometimes like to just tag and spoil the fun.
Yeah, yeah, I think that Hawthorn have done okay in the Rucks this year with the McAvoys. So. But yeah, Cruiser is in very, very good form, so hard to bet against that.
All right, Mark, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for joining again. Anything to leave our listeners with?
Just make sure you get your loopholes right. I think the last 2 weeks with so many teams having players missing and so much dual position action, I think there is a lot of opportunities to do some loopholing. I think I had like 4 or 5 different players being loopholed on the weekend, and yeah, it was pretty difficult to get my head around, but I got through in the end. You can get 50 to 100 points doing that. And if you can do that for each of the last 2 weeks, you can actually make up quite a lot of ground.
Yeah, I got Luke Ryan with emergency at 32 that I didn't take on the weekend, and Lewis Young with 23. And I took Rockliffe's 125. So I definitely can relate. There's a lot of points to be gained. If Rocky scored in the 60s, then I would have had to make a second trade to bring another premium on field. So that was why I didn't end up using my second trade. But yeah, I agree. I'm even structuring my trade plans around loophole opportunities as well. Okay, that wraps up this week's show, Mark. And we'll catch all of you next week. See ya.
See ya, mate.